Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hi, I'm Graham Thompson, Youth Development Officer for the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Anyone who works with young people will tell you that the past 2 years have impacted them hard in many different ways. They've lost out educationally, relationally, and in countless missed opportunities in various fields of life. Some may have come through this relatively unscathed, but for many, we're yet to fully understand the impact on their confidence, their prospects, and their sense of hope. Yet, as youth workers, we're in the business of bringing hope to young people. Particularly as Christian youth workers and as the church at large, we have a clear mandate to not only bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus, but to help young people understand what that good news means for their lives and experiences, whether positive or challenging. In this episode, I'll talk to two youth workers, Nicola Clark and Carl McManus, about their observations of young people in these days and how they've walked with them in the hope of the gospel. And we'll look forward to a new event called Onward, at which they will both be speaking. And I'm particularly pleased to also be talking to four young people about their experiences and how they have a hopeful outlook for the future. So welcome, Carl and Nicola. It's really good to have you on our podcast. Nicola, we're sitting here in your church, Orangefield Presbyterian. Tell us a little bit about your role here.
Yeah, well, my official title is youth worker, which sort of is self-explanatory, but I suppose that involves, it picks up a little bit of the kids' work, the youth work, working with parents, overseeing a lot of our programmes and sort of the big picture of what we want and hope for our young people.
And Carl, you're not strictly just a church-based youth worker. Tell us a little bit about your job and role.
Yeah, so I work for a ministry called Young Life International. We partner with local churches, but try to be a presence in the community. The hope is that we will follow the model of Jesus being God incarnate and going into communities. So that involves partnering with local church, but then also doing things like being involved in schools and things like that too.
The last couple of years have not been normal youth work and ministry. What have you noticed, because you're still involved in the lives of young people, what have you noticed in their lives as you have worked with them?
I think one of the biggest things that probably was in my head as we stepped into lockdown 2.5 years ago was just that very immediate, like, oh my goodness, everybody's on their own. Everybody's separated. We've lost that sense of family, of community, and how do we connect with that again? And that very much was coming across with our young people when we connected with them. A lot of them, when we were maybe asking, like, what can we be praying for at the end of a Zoom call, it was like, I miss my friends. I would really like COVID to be gone. I miss seeing my grandparents and my family. And that was the dominant thing that really was coming out with them. As the 2 years went on, that never really changed. There was, you know, especially when we were in lockdown 3.0 or however many we've been in, every time that happened, it was that loss of physical connection and being in the same space together. And I think as well, for some of our young people, and not just our young people, like even like myself as well, when we came out of lockdown, that connecting with people again, you'd got so used to really focusing on those that were closest to you, and then to then step into this bigger group again, it was for young people, and this was what was coming out for them, but I was feeling it too, was we were so ready for that bigger group connection, but it was really exhausting as well, of like you'd come away and you were like, I have to talk to so many people, and so it's this little conflict inside of, I really want this, I really crave this, but I'm finding it really exhausting. And those connections have just been a bit tricky to build up and to be the way they were before, naturally.
There is this social tiredness that comes now,
yeah,
that we just didn't notice before, because socialising was such a big part of our lives before lockdown. But now, you know, you have a heavy week where you're seeing a lot of different people, you feel it at the end of the week. I think another thing, just going back to your question, Graham, that really stood out for me, and it was from being in school. So I was in a fortunate position where when pupils were in Priory College in Hollywood, the expectation was that I was in there to support them as well. And I remember young people being absolutely terrified of another lockdown coming. And these are kids who, you know, before lockdown, you asked them, what do you think of school? And their response was, I can't wait to get out of this place. Yeah. I hate this place. And then chatting to the same kids and just asking them, you know, how are you doing? What's going on? And them literally saying, I'm just so scared of another lockdown. When they send us home for half term, I'm just so scared that they're not going to bring us back. And I think that spoke to, there was a real lack of consistency in the lives of young people, and that threw a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I think for kind of largely speaking within the church, a lot of the young people who we come into contact with come from really good families, but that's not the case for a lot of young people as well. And actually lockdown was a scary experience for them in a lot more reasons than just, I don't get to see my friends, but actually they were forced to stay and what could be a very difficult environment for them, actually.
Do you think these experiences have changed them going forward in terms of maybe making them more anxious, but in terms of even their approach to school or life in any way?
I think on the surface, they'll still say they hate school, but I do think there has been a bit of a shift. But the scary thing is, you know, we are forgetful people, and just all of us, actually, we just take things for granted whenever they are the way they are. So for some young people, I think that there has been a noticeable change, but even from what I've seen, you know, there have been some young people who would have been saying, I'm scared of a lockdown, and now they're back to saying, I can't wait to be out of school. And we are forgetful, but I do think they're quite good at keeping things under the surface, and it just takes a little bit of a scratch and then things can open up.
I'd say the same. If you can come alongside a young person and have that one-to-one conversation, is when you start to see some of those little shifts and some of those little changes. But when you're in that bigger group dynamic, it almost feels normal. Like, I know certainly over the last number of while, when we've, like, we had something on there on Tuesday, and all of us as leaders came away and were like, that felt as normal as anything has felt in the last 2 years. Even with young people and the way they were interacting with each other and getting on with each other and stepping out. But yeah, I know for some of those young people that in those little one-to-one conversations, there has been a shift for some of them in terms of how they even, sounds silly, but even psyching themselves up for coming to something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that must be hard for you as a youth worker. You know, what have been the challenges? Because you've continued to try and support them, encourage them, disciple them. During this period, but that there's times that must have felt almost impossible.
When we first entered lockdown, I always thought I was fairly tuned in as a youth worker. I thought it was pretty cool. And then I entered the world of Instagram and social media, and I was like, goodness, I really don't have a clue. Because those were some of the ways that we were trying to connect with young people, was like silly things like we were doing daily challenges on our Instagram, and we entered the world of Zoom and all the logistics that brings with it in terms of permissions, and we just had to shift our mindset very, very quickly. But equally, we saw young people who hadn't been coming to stuff beforehand connecting in, which again just speaks to that young people wanted to connect in with anything that was going. And so we actually saw a bit of an increase in engagement with stuff, which was really encouraging and fantastic, and I suppose opened up some doors to connect with some of those young people who had been on the fringe a wee bit. Even that's hard, you know, you try and do a phone call, like we were trying to do phone calls with young people, but they just don't like talking on the phone. They just don't like doing it. So they wouldn't answer the phone. But if I sent a text message, like 2 seconds later, they were straight back answering. And so even just adapting, whereas before in person, you know, you sit over supper at the end of youth fellowship and you talk to a young person, you know, you can't talk to them, but we lost that. And so having to do it over text, where you can't always read emotion or what actually is going on under the surface. So that was probably the biggest challenge in terms of just connecting with them and trying to support them, as well as dealing with your own stuff of what that brought. Like, I was still in this role. I still wanted to pastorally care for those young people, but there were moments where I need someone to pastorally care for me. And as a church team, like, we had that, it was great. But there were definite moments where I wasn't maybe doing okay, but still felt that weight and that responsibility to check in with our own people. So there have definitely been moments over the last couple of years where it has felt incredible, and at times where it's felt incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I think one of the big challenges that I kind of found was that the rules which we were following to kind of make sure we kept people safe when they came to any of our programs were just completely different to the rules that young people followed when they were spent time with their friends. Yeah. And it was just a difficult thing to kind of invite them into, I think, sometimes, because you sort of felt like you were having to be the bad guy all the time, saying, yep, keep your mask on, keep distanced. And it was a fairly alien concept to them, mm-hmm, because they weren't doing it in any other part of life. I think that then meant that there was a different dynamic, yeah, within the group, and it didn't feel normal even, yeah, when we were together, because normal for them still with their friends still looked kind of like what life looked like before COVID, but yeah, it didn't when we were meeting together as a group.
We used to joke that we would just record me being like, social distancing, and just like, rather than me shouting all the time, we just had it on repeat every like 10 minutes, just hit social distance.
It maybe feels like there's a wee bit more hope looking forward, but hope has got to be about more than regulations changing. As Christian youth workers engaged with young people, what is giving you hope and helping you be positive as you look forward at the moment?
I think for us, it's given us an opportunity to almost reset a lot of what we do and how we do it and the focus that we put on things. And actually, for us, it's about our young people growing in their faith. Obviously, it always has been about that. But there is the danger that you slip into, are we offering a good program? Are we, have we got enough numbers? And all those things that just come with being a youth worker in general. But I think the hope is that actually for our young people, they have encountered something and they've experienced something that gives us an opportunity to, I suppose what you were saying, like young people, for a lot of our young people, they've grown up in church. So they know who Jesus, they know who God is, they're used to praying, they're used to this. But this moment has been something that has totally rocked and totally shaken their world and ours. And the focus now is, here's how God is our rock. Here's how, when life gets shaken, you can be steady and that. And a little plug for the Big House, like some of the resources that the Big House have put out in terms of shaken and steady are phenomenal. And we used, in particular, the shaken one over lockdown, where that focus for young people is, here's how God is your rock, even in the midst of life being shaken quite badly. Here's what that focus is, where many of our young people won't have had their lives shaken like that before.
So it's been a discipleship opportunity.
Absolutely,
in some ways.
Yeah.
I just think for the church, actually, this is a really significant moment, because if we were not thinking this before COVID, it's fairly clear now that we're living in a post-Christian society. There's little pockets where that maybe isn't the case, but I think by and large, we are post-Christian. And I think we are living in this time now where we have a huge responsibility and opportunity as the church to show people the way of Jesus. And I think we've maybe got into the habit of thinking that when we're sharing our faith or when we're talking about Jesus or when we're maybe inviting people to church, we're maybe doing that on the back foot. But actually, I think COVID has been one of the things that's reminded us, actually, what we have is really worth sharing. And it is still really good news that people want to hear. Yeah. The media maybe, and just different things in our culture, suggest to us that people don't want to hear it. But actually, when we can point to, being in lockdowns and saying, actually, when everything that you had that was a constant was gone, that wasn't the case for us. And I think that's just an exciting footing that we can be setting off on as the church generally. So whenever I think about reaching young people, I think that is just a massive thing that we can celebrate and carry with us.
So we've maybe got a renewed focus, but the way we do things still not completely the way we would like. And we're looking forward to a new type of event. We haven't had a youth event for 2.5 years in PCI, and that's been a huge loss, the gathering of young people. This is going to be a wee bit different. It's called Onward. It's happening on the 2nd of April here in Orangefield. It's going to be streamed so that people can show that to their youth group or gather a few local groups together. And we're excited because although we'll not all be in one place, there will be a connection there. You both very willingly agreed to be part of that. You're speaking at the event and you've really helped to shape it. Tell us why, because it's not at a youth event as we know it. Tell us why you wanted to be part of it and what your hopes are for it.
Well, I think for me, obviously, Mad Weekend has been a key, and that was the last large scale to know that we came together. And Mad Weekend for Orangefield has been, it's on our calendar every year. It's one of the highlights. And I think the biggest thing is the memories that young people carry from that, you know. And I even think of, well, my brother too was part of, like, was it Mad from years and years and years ago, and he still, there's memories that are made there that you don't get from maybe smaller things. And it's the same for our young people, you know, there's memories that are made at wider gathered events where you feel like you're all in it together. And so for me, the excitement of this is something that is hopefully going to be a memory point for young people that they look back on and think, do you remember when? Do you remember the first one that we did outside of lockdown? And so for me, that was the exciting.
I think like one of the tactics that the enemy tries to throw at us is that he tries to make us feel like we're isolated. And that can happen, you know, personally, he wants to make us feel isolated, but maybe even like as a group, he can want to make us feel isolated. And I just think things like this show us, you know, God's doing stuff around mm-hmm. the place. And it's not, you know, my faith, it's not just within my youth group that it exists, but actually this is a wider thing. And that's, I just think the more we can show young people that, the better. Mm. They get to see that they're part of a bigger story than what they see before their eyes on a daily or weekly basis.
The event's called Onward. Our tagline is Journeying Together in Hope. Tell us why you think that theme of hope is important. And Carl, you first, because you're both doing a talk, what will you be saying to them about hope?
Yeah, so I'll be chatting to the young people about the cross, looking towards the cross and sharing the gospel with them and give an opportunity for them to respond, because our hope is in Jesus and in all that he has done for us in dying on the cross, in being raised from the dead, and in the promise of the Spirit that he has given us, and then looking even further down the line of, you know, eternal life and everything in between. So that's what I'm going to be sharing about on the night.
Nicola, what about you? What will you be saying about hope, and why is that important?
Well, for me, hope is one of my favourite words ever. But even just the concept of it, it's just such a positive word. You know, when you hear hope, you can't help but it stirs something up, you know, for me. So on the night, obviously, Carl's sharing about here we're coming towards the cross. So for me, for the young people who maybe have made that commitment to have stepped into that relationship with Jesus and have had that moment at the cross, what that then looks like living out from that. So stepping into that hope for what is ahead and how to live as Christians and how to continue to hold on to that hope as Christian young people moving forward.
So what are you both hoping for? Because your young people will be here. There'll be young people in halls all over the country. What do you want to see happen in their lives on the night of the 2nd of April?
I think, going back to what Nicola said earlier, just that it could be one of those moments which is a marker, you know, for these young people that they look back on and say, you know, I don't know if I'd ever made a commitment to follow Jesus before that night, but I know that on the 2nd of April 2022, that was the night that I, you know, put my flag in the ground and said that, you know, this is the decision that I'm making. And that's something that hopefully they'll be able to look back on, you know, 60 years down the line and say, that was the night for me. That's something that I would love to see happen.
Yeah, can't top that, can you? Like, but that is it. Like, that's our hope in everything, is that we see young people commit to Jesus, because we know what difference he makes in our lives, and for young people, for them to be able to take hold of that hope for themselves, not just because a youth leader does or a parent does, but actually take hold of that for themselves and firmly plant themselves on that path, on that road. It's a memory maker, it's a point in time.
So we talked just a few moments ago about how the last couple of years has been difficult as youth workers. It's been difficult for young people. We did a little bit of an exercise with some young people where we asked them two questions. We asked them, what has taken away hope during the pandemic? And what are you most hopeful about? And here's what they told us.
I miss seeing my friends all the time and missed sport especially.
Not being able to see family.
Not being able to see my grandparents.
Not seeing friends.
Not seeing my friends and not socialising.
Not being able to go to school and see friends.
What's given me hope are all the church events happening.
I'm most looking forward to summer.
Not having to wear masks everywhere.
The restrictions being lifted and being able to go out in public without wearing masks and so on.
Getting rid of masks.
Being able to spend time with family that are in hospital and stuff. And
Restrictions easing, being able to see people without socially distance and masks all the time.
Restrictions being eased.
We're really pleased to welcome to the podcast Emma, Evan, Grace and Matthew. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you please each introduce yourselves and tell us something you hope to achieve this year?
Hi, my name is Emma. I am 17 and something I would like to achieve this year is I do have my driver's license, my provisional, but I am terrified of driving. So that is my goal this year, to not be scared of driving and actually pass my test.
I'm Evan McRae. I'm also 17. And this year I hope to compete in the All-Irelands for javelin.
Hi, I'm Grace. I'm also 17. And I really hope to go to Ulster Uni.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I am also 17. And I'm the same as Emma. I would just like to pass my driving test fairly soon anyway.
Well, we all hope that you will see those hopes achieved. Talk to us about some of the things that have taken away hope because you've not been able to do them.
The fairly obvious thing would be the whole being in lockdown the past couple of years and not being able to speak to your friends and see people. So a lot of the time whenever we were gathering for youth events, it was always really reduced numbers. So instead of the 10 or 11, there would be 2 or 3. It just kind of wore you out because you knew that you weren't getting the same experience that you wanted to or that you were used to. And that could always take away a lot of hope on what you're wanting to get out of just being at church and being in a youth group at church.
I think for me, I saw friends on Zoom and I guess that was fine, but the worst part was just the schoolwork. Do you remember in January and every day it was about 4 or 5 Google Meets sitting with the teacher in complete silence and just the utter what is going to go on with GCSEs? They were cancelled, but our assessment's going to happen. And just the constant worry of I don't know, just a big expectation from school of getting work done and being able to do it well when you're not actually being taught. Yeah, and even just the social aspect of being in class, now being back in school, you're talking to friends all the time or asking your friend for help or whatever, but there was nothing. You only had proper meetings with your friends, let's call now or let's see each other over a Zoom on youth group or whatever. It was never just seeing them around school, which I guess took away from the sort of casual, informal sort of thing.
There's always, as well, half of everyone would just keep their camera off, so you'd be speaking to a blank screen a lot of the time. And
just thinking, you were all 15 when this started, and, those couple of years are meant to be really, really significant. And I hope they still were, but there maybe were times where you just felt, I'm not saying I was really down and depressed, but just maybe life felt a bit hopeless. I don't know if you can think of a time and why. What was it about that experience as a young person, particularly, that life felt really hopeless? Why was it like that?
I remember at one time, and it was really late at night, and I was sitting in my bed and must have been back at school at this point. It must have been about April, and we had been told that these assessments were going to happen, and I knew that I had about 30 assessments coming in the space of 3 weeks, and that had no revision started, and I just was thinking, oh my goodness, what has my life become and how quickly can summer come, because this is really hard. And I just had no one that, yeah, my friends were going alongside it, but it just felt really, really like hopeless, actually, just sitting there and not knowing what was going to happen and how these were going to turn out.
I think for that as well, the whole fact that we were alone, like, because you are at home and you were learning everything on your own, and it was hard to, like, get your friends to help you with things if you didn't understand them. So then a lot of that meant that you had very little hope, really, because everything that you learned, if you didn't know it, you didn't know it, and you couldn't, it was quite hard to get around that. So then going into the assessments, like you said, with the stuff you don't know and stuff that you can't really learn in the short space of time, it was difficult, to say the least, anyway.
Yeah, so I didn't do my GCSEs. We got those just given to us, really. My lower sixth exams, I did some assessments, then they were kind of given to us as well, like we're told what's going to be on them. And now in upper sixth, I have my exams and like I get off in 8 weeks. And it's kind of scary to think, oh, like I'm actually doing exams when I haven't done any exams. So kind of my future, it's kind of like, I know it is down to me, but I kind of hope that we don't do exams. Because I know myself that because I haven't had that constant like yearly exams, that I'm like clueless of what I'm supposed to do this year. So I feel like my hope in myself is kind of gone as of what I can achieve, because I haven't done the exams to get the grades myself.
I moved house during the lockdown, and so I moved house and I moved school in the middle of it, and it was a very, very difficult start because I was at my new school for about a month, and then another lockdown happened, and it was 3 months of sitting in my room with teachers I didn't know, classmates I didn't know, and a new house that I'd just moved into, and I had nobody around me, other than my family, of course. But it was just very difficult because I didn't even have the proper friendships to rely on at that time to actually get me through it, and it was just constantly sitting there. School was my life through the day, and after that I was stuck in my own house, couldn't go anywhere.
As you've maybe looked at friends, you know, how do you think the experience of the pandemic has impacted them? You know, you were talking about even confidence and ability or social connections, all those sorts of things. Do you think it's taken its toll on friends or people you know?
Yeah, I think just for young people in general, it took a real toll on the social aspect of life. Because, I mean, that's such an important part, especially at our age, of growing up and developing, and that was just taken away. And obviously, like, you know, social media is a great thing. You can still talk to people, but it's not the same. And I think coming out of the lockdowns, you saw that a lot. People didn't really interact with people they didn't know as much. So you just stuck very closely to your friends because you hadn't seen them in ages, and so you wanted to build that again. But I think the new interactions have suffered from that. People aren't as willing to just go and talk to people that they don't really know.
So I kind of got tired of, didn't get tired of talking to people on my phone, but at the same time, like I do thrive off that in-person contact. So when it was like late at night and you're like still talking to your friends, you're kind of just, like you didn't really want to as much, for me anyway. Like I love my friends so much. Like I'd get tired myself and I knew that they'd get tired. Not even like off the time, but like I feel like there was such a pressure to always check up on them like online, and it's so much easier in person. So I feel like that, but also with new connections, I feel like throughout lockdown there was that opportunity to make more friends, and there were a lot more social medias I found that people were more in contact with. And even getting out of lockdown, I feel like people in my friend group, we want to like make those new connections and have those different opportunities.
I was like sort of the opposite. Like there were times I think where I would go maybe like weeks without talking to any of my friends, because like I would just be in my house doing my own sort of thing, and it didn't really bother me as much. Like obviously I missed being able to go out and do things with them, but at the same time I was at home and so were they, so like it wasn't like I was missing out on anything. But then as we've like come out of lockdowns and there's less restrictions, I am starting to enjoy a lot more going out into like Belfast for food with them, and like playing sports as well with a lot of my friends. I do enjoy that quite a lot. So like I've missed it looking back at it, but at the time I wasn't terribly bothered.
even just simply though there's like actually stuff to talk about. Like in lockdown, it'd be like, how's your evening? Didn't do anything. What about you? Oh, just watched a bit of TV. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now it's like you go into school and it's like, how's your weekend? Well, I was out with my family, or I saw a couple of friends, or I went to a script. Do you know, there's actually stuff to talk about. There's actually like solid conversation, whereas it was sort of just chat for the sake of talking. So I think that's better now, but definitely a lockdown, there's nothing to actually chat about.
What are you hopeful about as you look forward? What's encouraging you? What's giving you hope as you look to the future?
Just waiting for all of the restrictions to go and for everything to be as close to normal as it can be. Not having to remember my mask every time I leave the house. And then especially like for us, that's going to be us going into like our early adult life. So it'll be way more like, because we're going currently at 17 with a lot of restrictions, but then hopefully over the next couple of years, we'll have the freedom of being able to drive and living on our own and with our friends, as well as all these restrictions going. So we're going from not a lot of freedom to then going to be loads of freedom. And I think I'm just kind of looking forward to that huge change and being able to do things the way I want them to instead of the way the government guidelines say I have to do them.
This time last year, you know, you're hearing about all the uni students about how they were just locked in their accommodation. And, you know, last year I was in fifth year, but I was sort of going, oh my gosh, like, what if this is my life in a couple of years? What if I'm still worrying about going out or leaving home to be locked in this accommodation? But I think definitely it seems like it's improving, and there is a hope that it will get back to normal, even just with the restrictions sort of being eased slightly the other day. Just knowing that actually things like uni are a possibility without having those restrictions.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel bad for last year and the year before's new uni students. And it kind of, like, it is kind of selfish of me, but I kind of hope that mine's not like that. Like, I kind of want to go into uni, have that uni life. And I had my interviews and they're all online, which was actually kind of, like, I was scared for the in-person ones, like, even in previous years just thinking about it, but now that they've been online, like, it's so much easier. But I wouldn't want that in my uni life. Like, I don't want online lectures. I kind of hope that if I pay for it, you kind of get like the in-person stuff. Yeah. You get like what you pay for, kind of thing.
For me, much the same. I mean, we're all 17, we're coming to the end of our childhood, really coming into adult life, and the past few years, like, sure, they've taken away from us, but that's such a small part of our life, and we've actually got so much more to come afterwards, and I'm just really excited for that. And I hope, as Matthew said, that huge change of freedom and independence won't be restricted by COVID, and I hope and pray that that'll be the case.
As young people who have faith in Jesus, how has that helped you through a time when maybe it felt hopeless, or how does it help you see things beyond the, I really hope the government dropped the restrictions? What difference does your faith make to how you see the future?
One thing I definitely noticed about lockdown is that it was a real opportunity for me to develop my faith. I don't know if that was the same for the rest of you guys, but I had time to actually open my Bible, or, well, my Bible app on my phone, or I had time to think about prayer. And going to youth group online, I think, was so helpful for me, because it was kind of like an anchor in that I knew that I always had that on a Sunday night, or I always had Christian Union, and we had Zoom calls. That was always on a weeknight. And I think being able to develop that and sort of reinforce that belief that I have Jesus as my hope, and can remember that he was with me during all of that, and just remembering that he's with me in the good times and the bad, and it's not just always about the highs in our faith, it can be about the lows, and that God sees that. So I think that was really helpful for me to sort of come back to my faith in lockdown.
I totally agree. Lockdown was a fantastic chance for me to actually just take a step back from the busyness and the usual schedule of my life, and I could just focus more on spending time with God, reading the Bible, praying more. It was the one good thing that came out of all of it, because although, sure, I felt hopeless and I felt alone, I had God there with me,
And that time spent with him has just brought me closer to him, and that's continued past my life outside of lockdown as well, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. Even in those quieter times with yourself, you had that opportunity and more time to be with God. But even like with my friends that aren't Christians, like I had those times to have those different questions, or like some of them wondered like how my life in that lockdown was different from theirs, and how I had like such a, maybe not all the time, but like a positive outlook towards what might happen. But those questions I feel like were very important in their life as well, to just have that different like aspect of how I got on with it and how they got on with it.
I'm going to say I do agree with what Emma has been saying, because at the start when I was like talking about how there was a lot of loneliness involved with the lockdowns, like even when I wasn't talking to people and I was just with my family, like I was still able to know that I wasn't fully alone, and I could still talk to God whenever I needed to, and it did help me develop my faith. I was able to use my physical Bible as well as online one, and then as well with the youth groups on Zoom, I was able to talk to other people about the things that I'd been learning, and I was able to share my faith with other people as well. So I thought that was quite useful as a Christian, as opposed to people who, like Grace said, were just kind of, if they were alone, they would feel more alone than I would, because they didn't have the same faith that I did.
I've been reading through Ephesians at the minute, and there was a part in chapter 3, I think it was verse 13, it was about Paul. He's under house arrest, and although we weren't exactly under house arrest, it kind of felt like that. If you like read throughout the chapter, he's still being used to like serve God in those different times. And I feel like we kind of had that throughout our lockdown, like we could still have those different opportunities to spread our faith, or like use different things or different ways to talk about what we believe in and how we think that it might get better for us or them.
I think that there is an opportunity for the church to become more involved in the Christian life of youth, because I think there's this opportunity that we've come through this great big break, and we have the chance to not just go straight back to the old ways and bring in something new, and bring in the actual feeling of church family, of everyone becoming included in everything.
The experience that we're having as young people is going to be different to the experience that someone much older than us is. So being able to share like the good things that we've had as well as the bad things, just so people are able to understand our point of view from what we're doing in the church. So like just involving younger people in just not even just youth activities, but throughout everything in the church, being able to talk to other people about what you've experienced.
Yeah, I think exactly the same. You know, we think about like our hope is Jesus, and how the cross gives us a hope in his returning and, you know, our eternal life with him. But, you know, I think at the moment I've just been thinking a lot about how our hope in Jesus is about his kingdom coming here, and, you know, having the opportunity to serve that kingdom. And I think, you know, I know the church that I'm involved in has been really good at helping me to see how I can serve his kingdom, with youth group helping out with that. But I think just the church just has this amazing opportunity now to help youth to see where they fit in and where they slot into that kingdom that Jesus has planned. So just seeing the gifts that young people have and finding out where they can best thrive.
Guys, thank you so much for sharing from the heart so honestly and openly. I know that has been really challenging and encouraging to me, and will be to others listening. Carl and Nicola, as you've listened to the young people speaking there, what most struck you about what they said?
I just love the vulnerability that they spoke with. And I suppose we haven't really given many opportunities for young people to be as vulnerable as that, to ask some of those difficult questions, to encourage them to reflect on not just what happened over the last few years, but, you know, internally, what were they feeling, what were they thinking, what were the fears, what were the things that they were looking forward to. I just think they were great questions to ask those young people. I think I was struck that I just want to be making sure that I'm asking more of those questions myself now, because I think up until this point, we've been so keen to just get rid of COVID. It's gone, it's done. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it ever again. But actually, for us to be able to come out of this in a healthy way, we need to process what happened, because it was big for all of us. Our worlds were just changed nearly overnight. And yeah, I just think with young people, we need to be talking about these things, but actually just wider, with not just people even in church, but with everyone. We need to be starting to process this. What was happening?
I was struck by everything, hence why I was an emotional wreck by the end of it. And for anybody that has just listened to that, if you haven't been somewhat moved by what those young people have shared, one of the things that really stood out for me that I probably hadn't quite grasped for some of our young people, in particular those older teens who lost that ability to do GCSEs and A-levels, like what that meant for them and the loss of confidence in themselves. That really struck me. I hadn't quite grasped the impact that that had on their confidence in being able to sit exams and to study. And yeah, the vulnerability of them, and you know, the moments that they shared of late at night, mm-hmm. when I was mm-hmm. thinking about the day and I thought, goodness, mm-hmm. how often was I praying for our young people in those moments? Do you know, thinking actually it's at the end of a day when all's quiet, all's stopped, that things like that can mm-hmm. rear their heads and emotions like that can come.
It was really interesting to hear their desire to be part of the church of all ages, really yeah. encouraging. What do you think the lessons are for us as a church listening to them and moving forward? We're talking about moving forward, journeying together in hope. How does that give us hope as a church?
I think it was something Matthew said about being given the opportunity for young people to share their story in church. And I just don't know if that's something that we do very well. But actually, I think this podcast has shown us they have a story to tell, and they can tell it very, very well. And I just think that's the starting point, really, that we need to listen. And then whatever way we need to react after that, that's fine. But the first point is we listen to what they're thinking, what's been going on, and what are some of their needs. And some of their needs might be ridiculous, and we have to say, listen, I would love to be able to do that, but that's not possible. But some of the things, even if they will be difficult to meet, I think as a church we have to sometimes say, this is going to be tough, but we have a responsibility yeah. to actually step up, and we have a responsibility to make change
yeah.
so that we can allow these young people to feel like they're actually part of this family.
I think we have a lot to learn from young people as well
yeah.
about resilience and about adapting and changing and growing. And that all ties in with, we have to listen, we have to give them space to share their story, both for them, I think, to process. And it almost felt like that, listening to them as well, that this was a space where they were maybe saying things that they maybe hadn't quite thought through themselves, but actually that was a space for them to reflect. And as they were speaking, stuff was coming out for them. But also with someone who was sitting listening to it, the impact that had on me, and me being able to reflect and think, goodness, like, how did I cope with things, or what was the biggest thing for me? And actually, I think there's something about, is healing maybe too strong a word? I don't know. But I think there is healing that needs to happen for a lot of people on the back of this, and that sense of coming together again and just being vulnerable with each other and learning from each other.
Last line from each of you. What are your hopes for the Onward event, and for people listening to this, how can they pray for Onward and for you and other youth workers who are going to be continuing to engage with young people through Onward and beyond?
I think there's maybe two things. So the first is, I was struck as well, again, listening to those guys, we just need to get our own people together, have fun. But, you know, yes, obviously our focus is discipleship and seeing them grow, but actually, let's just come together and have some fun. And so there are going to be elements of that in the programme, of games and activities that are pure fun and just getting together and laughing together and all of that. And so I'm really excited for that element, and that stuff that is going to happen all over the country, because there are activities and games and fun stuff that all of our groups can be doing in their gathered spaces. So just pray that buildings across this country are filled with laughter of young people. I just think let's fill those buildings with laughter and joy from our young people is probably the biggest thing. And then just what we've talked about before, that it's a space for young people to step out of, renewed with hope, filled with hope, encouraged in hope.
Another thing is that I would just love people to be praying for the leaders who are going to be kind of facilitating in the different locations, because the reality is, with any event, you know, if this were an in-person event or the fact that it's an online thing, the reality is that there's only so much that can happen within a two-hour period. But these leaders are going to be the ones who are in these kids' lives at least weekly. And if you could just pray for the leaders that this would be another kind of touch point for them to have with young people. Maybe if youth groups have got out of the habit of meeting, that this is maybe kind of a launch pad that they can set off on this new footing to say, okay, right, this is a new season and this is our starting point and we're moving onward. Yeah, I just think even listening to some of the guys there, some of the things which were significant for them over lockdown were youth group was a part of it, and that was over Zoom. And I think I would love for youth leaders to grasp this is like an amazing privilege that you have of getting to walk with these young people, and really to just throw themselves fully into that and say, actually, I'm going to do it.
There's a very hopeful way to finish our conversation. Carl, Nicola, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. We thank to Matthew and Grace and Evan and Emma. And thank you everyone for listening, and we hope this has been an encouragement and a blessing to you.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.